And now, O Lord, O God, who didst bring thy people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast made thee a name, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteous acts, let thy anger and thy wrath turn away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy hill, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a byword among all who are round about us. Now therefore, O our God, hearken to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplications, and for thy own sake, O Lord, cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline thy ear and hear. Open thy eyes and behold thy desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee on the ground of our righteousness, but on the ground of thy great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, give heed and act. Delay not for thy own sake, O my God, because thy city and thy people are called by thy name. This is the word of God. In the manner of confessional addresses of some 50 years ago, we apply the truths of this text to our participation in the sacrament of the altar today. In these words, we see the heart of Daniel. It was a trespass. Daniel's prayer was accompanied by fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. We read in verse 3, the traditional mark of a penitent person. True, these practices are not mandatory, neither do they prove genuine repentance. Yet fasting and similar practices may well serve to curb unholy, fleshly appetites. There is little doubt that we would be more healthy and robust, both in body and in spirit, if we would deny ourselves some of the food and fun we so dearly enjoy. For it is difficult to remember that the sinful drives of the flesh should be constantly checked and suppressed when one overindulges the body. The heart of Daniel was crushed because of the sins of his people. For our sins, he pleads. Daniel could not view himself apart from the people of God whom he belonged. Throughout the prayer, he uses the first person plural. It is our sins. Do we have such a view? Do we live in constant awareness of the body we belong to, the body of Christ, the church? Dare the heart ever criticize and send you the stomach for its failure to perform properly? Dare the stomach in anger against the heart decide to ignore the heart and digest food only for itself? Impossible. For the heart and the stomach both are parts of the one whole body and constantly share in the body's sickness or health. So it is in the body of Christ. Remember, Jesus taught us to pray in the prayer. It is our Father. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. There's no name calling here, no finger pointing, no looking down at or feeling sorry for other poor miserable sinners. It is only forgive us our trespasses. It is lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The heart of Daniel was crushed because of his own sin. Or it may be the plural that Daniel uses, but it's still the first person plural. He includes himself, and so must we. Sometimes we Christians become quite self-righteous as we view the troubles that beset and the perils that threaten our dear country. You see, we say this happens because of all the evil people we have in our land. They are the cause of God's anger against us. They follow criminals. Those people that don't go to church on Sunday or give God a thought. Those people,
is it possible that our nation is threatened with nuclear annihilation also because of our unruly tongues, our ungoverned temper, because there are so many unkind words, bitter arguments in our Christian families?
The heart of Daniel was set because he and his people had grievously sinned in the face of great divine grace. In verse 15, he prays, he would bring thy people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. With these words, it is as if Daniel was saying, O Lord, how could we rebel against thee in the light of all thy redemptive goodness? Yes, how can we? For the redemption we possess is the rescue from Egypt by comparison. By the death and resurrection of Jesus, his Son, God has set us free from the clutch of Satan, hell, death, and sin. The Israelites railed their pleas to God for deliverance from the tortures of Egyptian bondage, and God liberated them. Yet they were scarcely free when they returned to a bondage far worse than that of Egypt, the terrible slavery to sin. In place of the gracious God, they substituted the golden calf as the object of their adoration. And will we return from the freedom of Calvary to the bondage of our same old things? Will we substitute the golden calf of good and people in place of God, who laid his own bleeding heart upon love's altar when Jesus died and rose again for our pardon and eternal life? The heart of Daniel. It was a confident heart. Confident that God's ears were open. Incline thy ear and hear, he prayed. Oh, yes, sufferings may have closed in upon Daniel and his people, yet the ears of their rescuing God would never be closed to their earnest cries for delivery. We can be equally confident that God's ears are ever open to our pleas for pardon and rescue from distress. We are sure that God hears everything we say, only because of Jesus, his Son. By the death of Christ, we know God hears all our prayers and especially our penitent prayers for pardon. In fact, God's ears are always more ready to hear than our hearts and our mouths are to us. It was a confident heart. Confident that God's eyes were open. Open thy eyes and behold thy desolations and the city which is called by thy name. Though the prophet and his people could see nothing but trouble around them, they were confident that God could still see them, that he had not lost sight of them because they were buried beneath an avalanche of affliction. We are sure that God's eyes are open to us because he once closed them for 3 days. The eyes of Jesus were sightless in cold death as he lay in his tomb. And because the eyes of Jesus were shut in death and then opened again on Easter, God's eyes are always open upon us. And we know they are smiling at us. They are eyes that are set in a shining face, that beam love and favor and forgiveness, not eyes that flash anger from a frowning, scowling countenance. In fact, At the end of each Sunday's worship service, and often here in chapel, our God words about his uplifting faith. And this is the faith of his favor and forgiveness that beams down upon us all week and all day long. No wonder we respond to the benediction. It is true. It is true. It is true. It was a confident heart. Confident because the plea for pardon was based upon God's mercy, not upon his or his nation's merit. So we do not present our supplications before thee on the ground of our righteousness, but on the ground of thy great mercy. Daniel realized the folly of asking God to be gracious and forgiving on the basis of his own or his people's goodness. It just wasn't fair. One could never be sure of God's pardon or of deliverance from affliction if such divine activity were dependent upon our holiness. For if we pray, we would always be haunted by the nagging fear, perhaps I've been too bad, or perhaps I haven't been good enough for God to grant me my request. But our prayer is based upon God's mercy and is for the sake of his name, says Daniel. For his name's sake. God is for the sake of all that God is and does for us. It is for his name's sake that we pray. The name we have come to know as Jesus, who gave his life upon a cross and rose again to bring us to God and glory forever. That's why we pray for everything from food to forgiveness with a confident faith, for we base our prayer on God's mercy, not on our own merit. And God's mercy is always there. The Lord is merciful. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor requite us according to our iniquity. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. In fact, he has promised mountains will walk off the face of the globe, and that we will be able to command the sun to stop rising and setting, and it will obey before his mercy will leap. And it's just in this sense that changes a crushed heart into a confident heart. Amen.